Aloha. Today is June 1st. Welcome to The Conversation. I'm Robbie Dingman, in for Catherine Cruz. Today is the start of the hurricane season, and the National Weather Service is forecasting up to 13 tropical cyclones across the Central Pacific, more than double the number of storms in a normal season. With the impact of the Kona low storms fresh in our minds and the threat of tropical depressions, storms, and hurricanes ahead, what can we do now to best prepare ourselves and our homes? We've asked three local experts to join us to help us make a plan now before the storms. Help us help you by asking those questions you've been thinking up with our recent stormy weather. We want to hear from you. The number to reach us is 808-941-3689.
Support for Hawaii Public Radio comes from Hemic, a mutual insurance company, helping care for Hawaii's businesses and workers for more than 20 years. Learn more at hemic.com.
Tune in to HPR2 this Sunday at 3 p.m. as Hawaii Symphony Concertmaster Iggy Jang and international piano virtuoso Jeremy Denk share duties as conductors and performers. We'll hear Ravel's Mother Goose Suite, Haydn's Symphony No. 83, The Hen, and Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 25. That's this Sunday at 3 p.m. on HPR2, sponsored by the Rice Partnership.
Support for Hawaii Public Radio comes from the Scheidler College of Business at UH Manoa, offering the Master of Human Resources Management. Learn more at scheidler.hawaii.edu/executive.
You're tuned in to The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Robbie Dingman, in for Catherine Cruz. I'm joined by three experts at emergency preparedness. I'd like to introduce you. First, we have Ernie Lau, Board of Water Supply Manager and Chief Engineer.
Good morning, Robbie.
Good morning, Ernie. And then we have John Bravender, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration Meteorologist, with the coolest actual title. John, can you tell us your title?
Warning Coordination Meteorologist.
Love that. And we have Dennis Wong, University of Hawaii Sea Grant College Program Coastal Hazard Mitigation Specialist, another cool title.
Okay. Thank you. Aloha, Robbie.
Thank you all for joining us. Welcome to you all. Today we're talking about hurricane preparedness. We'll start hearing from each of you about what you're hoping that residents are planning as we enter this potentially very stormy season. Let's start with you, Ernie, then we'll switch to John and then Dennis for this first round. So tell us a little bit, what are you hoping when you're top of mind, when you woke up this morning, it was June 1st, hurricane season, what are you hoping citizens are thinking about?
I'm hoping that they think about being prepared. You know, we started hurricane season today, and I look forward to hearing from John at the National Weather Service, his forecast for the year. And we had that for the city county of Honolulu this morning. So for me, when hurricanes, we begin hurricane season from the water standpoint, and everybody needs safe drinking water to be able to survive. So it's taking the recommendations from HIEMA and DEM to store at least 1 gallon per day of drinking water per person for at least 14 days. So being prepared, storing your drinking water is very important for our community. The reason for that is that if there is a tropical cyclone or hurricane that affects our islands, it's very likely that electricity would go out. And for the Board of Water Supply, we provide about 1 million people every day with safe drinking water here on Oahu. And that takes most of that takes electricity to be able to pump water out of underground aquifers or lift water to a higher elevation. So we can anticipate power going out for a long period of time, and the water you stored is going to be very important for you and your family.
Got it. So we'll talk more about water storage in a little while. John, tell us more about this hurricane season that we're looking at.
We're looking at what could potentially be a busy season in the Central Pacific. During a warm El Nino summer, we tend to see more tropical cyclones form in the basin or move in from the east. But from a preparedness standpoint, maybe the busy year gets attention, gets people focused. But even year to year, during quieter years, we tell people it doesn't really matter how many we have. All it takes is one to change your life. And that's the message we're still trying to go with. Like, hey, this is your chance now. Take action. Get ready. Listen to some of these experts here to know what to do as we go into this hurricane season.
But we are looking at more storms than your average season.
An average year for us is 4 to 5 within the Central Pacific. This year, we're looking at a large range, 5 to 13. So it could be a very busy year. We've been making comparisons back to 2015, strong El Nino year, very record-setting, 16 tropical cyclones that year, very busy year. We were lucky then, and that's the worry that people think, oh, we made it through 2015 with a lot, but we didn't get impacted. Like, that's not what the message we want people to take away. We're it's that what if one comes by us? That's
sure.
What we're worried about.
Let's be ready. Okay, Dennis, what do you want people to be thinking about and getting ready this season?
Well, like Ernie said, be prepared, but be proactive. Four different things I'm going to cover very quickly. One, everyone should have emergency notification, register for the emergency notification systems for each county. So Oahu, it's HNL.alert. For Maui, it's MEMA alerts. For Kauai, it's the WENS system. And for Hawaii County, it's the Everbridge system. So they should register to get emergency alerts. The second thing is to make sure they have an emergency plan. When I mean a plan, they should know where they're going to go for a hurricane, considering the triple threat, coastal storm surge, inland flooding, and high wind. Three, do simple maintenance on your house. You're going to address a lot of risk. And four, consider insurance, because we do recommend everyone have hurricane insurance. And if you're in a risk of flooding, you should have flood insurance.
Got it. Well, thanks all for that startup. So I wanted to say to our listeners, if you're just joining the conversation, we're talking about hurricane preparedness. We'd like to know, what are you doing to stay prepared? What advice do you have for others? What questions do you have for our panel? You can join the discussion by calling 808-941-3689. I really appreciate, Dennis, that you started with the alert system, because I think back in the day, people were more likely to watch a certain TV station or to read both newspapers or to have an idea. And now people get their news from such a wide array. So I think when you mentioned the alert system, maybe mention a little bit about why getting that information direct from the emergency preparedness folks is important.
Yes, very important. The most reliable source is from your own county emergency management agency. And during the Kona lows in March, it was a good example of why you need that alert, because that's how they're going to notify you if there's a flash flood warning, or you need to evacuate during a potential dam failure. And for hurricane season, if there's coastal storm surge, which is very a risk, but also very geographics is a very big factor. They'll notify you if there's a risk for your area. So
sure.
you need to get notifications from your county.
And you can find that out very specifically. Like, your county will let you know what's going on in
yes.
your particular area at a timely basis.
Yes.
Ernie, what are some of the other things that you're looking at in preparation?
Of course, water storage is very important, being able to store water safely. At the Board of Water Supply, this is on the island of Oahu. I know this is a statewide show. We are currently giving out free emergency water storage bags. They store about 2.5 gallons. They fold flat, so easy storage, but they can hold 2.5 gallons. That'll cover one person for at least 2 days. Instructions on how to store water safely is also on the outside of the emergency water bags.
Yes, so, we'll put that up on our website, but we wanted to let people know that they did, the Board of Water Supply was kind enough, Ernie, and staff brought these emergency water storage bags, and they're big, and they're strong, and they have a handle and a spout on them.
A spout with a cover on it, too, so you can store water. If you don't have these bags, you can always use a clean container. Make sure it's something that was used maybe for storage of some kind of food product, and you can rinse it out, say, clean it out and rinse it. So it stores water safely. You can go to the boardofwatersupply.com website, and we have instructions there on emergency tips on how to store water. In addition to that, I'm an amateur radio buff, ham radio operator, too. I think the emergency alert systems are great, but once the an event occurs, there's a good chance that the cellular systems may come down, so your cell phones may not always be working. So one thing to think about, you want to keep in touch with information about the recovery or response actions. Also have a transistor radio, an old-fashioned radio that you can either crank or hold by batteries. And that'll give you the information that government agencies will be broadcasting information through the emergency emergency broadcast system. So transistor radio, make sure that's part of your kit.
We're definitely in favor of radio over here.
Like on this show, for example.
A couple more minutes, so why don't you tell us what you're thinking.
Well, I was going to tie off of what Ernie mentioned with the broadcast radio, is that another source of information, especially post-disaster backup, similar type of radio in addition to an AM/FM radio. Some have multi-band, including a NOAA weather radio. And that's another alerting feature that could be beneficial as a warning is issued ahead of time. If you're asleep at home, tsunami warning, flash flood warning, this radio could be set to wake you up with an alert. The EAS notification will put it out and could set off an alarm to wake you up if you're asleep and have it turned off even.
Yes, I know. I've gotten my emergency radio from being a listener of Hawaii Public Radio, and I can turn on and hear that band, so it's important. Please join the discussion by calling us at 808-941-3689. We are speaking with hurricane preparedness experts, and we hope to hear from you. We'll be back in a little while to talk more to all of our three experts.
Support for HPR comes from Ferraro Choi, architects and planners for the Honouliuli Middle School in East Kapolei, committed to design that serves and celebrates the environment, culture, and community. FerraroChoi.com.
The government selected a contractor without going through the legally required process of comparing offers and figuring out who could do the best job for the least money. And the urgency in this case is not a war, obviously, or a natural disaster, but just that the president wants this done by July 4th.
For the 250th.
Right. But remember, the 250th anniversary of the country has been on the calendar for 250 years.
I'm Michael Barbaro. That's Today on The Daily from The New York Times.
Beginning this evening at 6:30.
Support for The Conversation comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Furniture Plus Design.
Hi, this is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Robbie Dingman. Our guests in the studio are Ernie Lau, Board of Water Supply Manager and Chief Engineer, John Robinder, National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration Meteorologist, and Dennis Wong from the University of Hawaii Sea Grant College Coastal Hazard Mitigation Specialist. We're happy to have all of you here. And of course, we hear from the emergency alert system. This is about as timely as you get. It's a reminder that not only is this the first of the month, but it is the beginning of hurricane season. We are talking about it now because we know there's a lot that can be done to prepare ahead of time. Earlier today, this morning, I had a chance to speak with Darren Pai, a spokesperson from Hawaiian Electric Company, who talked with us about how to plan ahead.
First and foremost is to make sure you have a plan, that you know what you're going to do and everybody in your household knows what the plan is. You know where your supplies are. It's great if you have these things. If you can't find them or easily access them, then that's an issue. But your kit should have, you know, some basic essentials. You know, make sure you've got battery-powered radio, flashlight, you know, extra batteries. Stock up on your essentials, enough food, non-perishable food. Water is essential. And any medications or house hygiene supplies you're going to need for you and everybody in your household, including your pets. 14 days is a recommendation. You can go more if that's what's comfortable for you. But, you know, we know that in the situation where you have significant damage to the infrastructure, not just the electrical system, but roads and other critical pieces of public infrastructure, it can really affect the community's ability to respond in a quick manner.
Ernie, I wondered if you could talk a little bit more about one of the reasons that saving water is critical is that if the electricity goes down, how much water is available for the island and how long a period of time would that be that we have water?
Yeah, thank you, Robbie. Every day we have to provide about 140 million gallons of clean drinking water to serve about 1 million people on Oahu. Most of that is because of electricity. Electricity to run the pumps in over 180 different pumping facilities we have spread around the island. So when that electricity goes out, we'll only be able to operate based on the small number of generators that we currently have. We have about a dozen generators that will be positioned at the largest pumping stations to pump as much water as we can. But that won't be the normal water service that everybody expects. So there could be areas of the island where there's no water. But there'll be areas where there is water. So you'd be ready to perhaps go to those locations to gather water. And what we're trying to target right now is to focus on making sure that critical facilities like hospitals have safe drinking water to continue to provide service to our community. So it really requires everybody to be prepared to store water, drinking water safely for them, for their families, for at least 14 days. Some of the things we remind people also, and I think if there is damage to your home, especially like a single-family home, a house, it's a possibility that the plumbing might be damaged. If you're able to locate your shutoff valve, which is located right after on the customer side of our water meter, you can shut the leaking water off. Because our concern is we're trying to pump as much water as we can, but if there are a lot of damage to the facilities or buildings and that water is just leaking out as we're pumping water using generators, then we're not going to be able to serve as many people with water.
Got it. That's a big help. And one of the other things Darren Pai wanted me to go ahead and mention was that if you do have a generator or other emergency equipment, learn how to operate it before it happens. So we had heard people firing up generators in their living rooms, and that's just not a way that we want to do it. John, can you kind of
That's actually one of the focuses that we've had on the last several hurricane preparedness weeks is that we've had to change the messaging. It's an unfortunate lesson that was learned from some landfalls in the Atlantic is that after a disaster, people were worried about their generators being stolen. So they'd run them inside the garage. They'd run them inside. And there were more indirect fatalities from things like carbon monoxide poisoning than there were direct fatalities from some hurricanes. So that's something trying to remember the safety messages, not just leading up to the storm, but recovery after the storm, what you do with generator safety, electrical safety with down power lines, everything like that as well.
Yeah, those are good to remember. Dennis, can you talk a little bit more about how people can prep their homes statewide? I know there's various things people can do.
Sure. I just want to mention quickly about the generator. We're updating the homeowner's handbook to prepare for natural hazards to the fifth edition. And a new development is a lot of people are going from gas generators to solar generators. They're becoming cheaper and more efficient, and that's something people should consider. There's no concern about carbon monoxide poisoning. In terms of preparing your house, maintenance is first. So clear the gutters and drainways for flooding. When you clear the gutters, you're also preventing flooding. You're also reducing wildfire risk.
And that's something that's free. That's something that you can do yourself.
Yes. Everyone should be doing maintenance on their house and make sure your house does not have termite damage, wood rot, or corrosion, because over time your house will weaken if those are happening. So you want to be proactive to deal with that. And then for older houses, generally, houses built before 88 on Oahu, 1990 on Maui and Kauai, or 1994 on Hawaii County, those older houses, they should tie their roof to the wall with hurricane clips. It's a very simple retrofit. And there's a chance that there will be in the future a wind retrofit grant program through the Green Fee Act. Yeah.
Oh, great. So we can have that information available so we can point people to your resource, because I know you have a lot of information on the web about various ways that people can sometimes do the hurricane clip themselves, or sometimes they can hire a contractor to do it.
That's right. If they're handy, there's a step-by-step guide how to do it in the handbook. The material cost is like $300 to $500. You may save that much on your hurricane insurance premium just by doing that. And then, but for people who are not handy, hire a licensed contractor.
Got it. John, what about you looking ahead to the other things? You've been in these conferences and prepping everyone. What are some of the things that you think might not get attention that it deserves?
Especially going into hurricane season, we've seen a lot of flooding this past wet season. A lot of heavy rain, a lot of flooding. And there are also some very strong windstorms as well. So there's a lot of wind damage from different fronts that we had coming through. And if you have impact from a hurricane, you'll have all of that. You'll have ocean water surging in, exacerbating flooding. You'll have heavy rain coming down, causing flooding from the mountains. You'll have wind that not only caused damage itself, but could be debris, trees blown down, blocking culverts, increasing limiting drainage, increasing flooding concerns. So the combination of everything together during a hurricane is a really big concern. Plus, there's a lot of hazards that can happen outside of a hurricane. We've had fatalities here in the state from high surf, from distant hurricanes, people swept off rocks, from something that's not even within the basin. And we've also seen many times enhancement to wildfires, strong winds, downsloping windstorms from distant hurricanes that can exacerbate fire threat outside of a hurricane, or even in the case of Lane, rain on one side of the island, fire on the other side of an island at the same time. So there's a variety of hazards.
Yes, and that's the thing. We have to be ready for as much as we can anticipate ahead of time. We want to hear from our listeners on this. We'd love to hear any questions that you might have. The number to reach us here at The Conversation is 908-941-3689. Our number here is 808-941-3689. Another thing, I know sometimes I feel like when we fall into the season of the hurricane that we fall into our old habits. And one of the things that I was really interested in hearing from you experts is that you're always evolving your advice. And one of the other things that when I spoke with Darren Pye from HECO about, he talked about when we put together that emergency preparedness food kit, he had some very practical tips on heart-healthy options.
You know, I was doing some shopping a few years ago, and exactly as you said, I was looking at some canned Spam and thinking, you know, this is not for me anymore. So a lot of it comes down to educating yourself about, you know, how to read your food labels, talking to your doctor, understanding, you know, what kind of guidance they have for you when it comes to your diet. You know, if you're looking for some heart-healthy options, you want to look for things that preferably, don't have meat. They are, low in sodium, low in saturated fats. And these days, there are a lot of readily accessible, inexpensive, convenient options that fit all of these criteria. You know, everything from chickpeas and silken tofu to canned vegetables and fruits. There's a lot of, you know, low sodium canned soups out there. So, you know, it is possible to do this. It does take a little bit more homework, but it's not too difficult.
And another thing Darren talked about was that he will buy these foods as he's buying, doing his regular shopping. And he recommended that we all think about, too, and that he said, you know, we have our familiar things that we might feel nostalgic about, but there's other food that we can get that will be great to have in our kit.
You know, we're much more familiar with the Spam and the corned beef hash. I used to love corned beef hash. But, you know, these days, the way that diets have changed over time, the way that you know, consumers have a lot more options these days, there's just a lot that can be done, you know, with very, you know, simple items. And, you know, what's also very important is you want to think about how you're going to prepare your meals, you know, if an emergency does happen. So one thing that I know myself I've stopped doing is I've stopped buying instant ramen as part of my emergency kit because it does use water. And that just means that you need to have even more water in your emergency supply kit because you need water to drink, you need water to keep yourself clean. And then, you know, if you use additional water to prepare your food, you know, that just adds to the amount that you need to keep on hand.
Ernie, can you talk a little bit about just briefly on the different kinds of water that you should be prepared to have at your house? You have these water bags for water that you can drink and cook with. What water do you see, you want to remind people about what you need to have?
Well, the by far, water from your tap or your faucet in your kitchen, it's the cheapest and also, I would say, the cleanest water you can get. But people have other options like bottled water, for example, the store bottled water. But just kind of watch how long that is stored. I don't think they last forever in those plastic bottles. The other thing to think about, too, is, and Darren mentioned it, the ability to, say, cook your food or heat your water. After a really bad storm, if something happened, say, to Oahu, there's a possibility that the water system might actually be damaged. So people having the ability to actually boil their water to make it safe to drink is also an important factor to think about. Having the ability to heat things up, boil it for at least 3 minutes vigorously, then it'll be safe to drink after that.
Okay, great. Well, we have a caller on the line, and I think this is going to come Dennis your way. We have Lynn from Ocean View on the west side of Hawaii Island. She lives in a lava zone, but is having a hard time getting insurance.
Okay. Hello, Lynn.
Hi.
Yes. Well, first of all, there's three or four types of insurance. There's homeowner's insurance. There's flood insurance. There's hurricane insurance, and if you're in Hawaii County, you may even consider earthquake insurance, okay? But here's what we recommend. Every house in the state should have hurricane insurance because there's residual risk. My house is super strong, but there's still residual risk. There's like a tree that could fall on top of it.
Got it. Lynn, what kind of specific question do you have? Do you have something specific in the...
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I'm unable to get any kind of insurance. I've called, and I've even asked about homeowner's insurance, and I was denied that. And you were asking about wind. We just had an earthquake 7.5 miles where the epicenter was.
Right.
Thank goodness my house is standing. But I didn't know I could get hurricane insurance, earthquake insurance, but they said as long as I'm in lava zone 1 or 2, they can't insure me, even homeowner's insurance.
Okay. Yeah, you're going to have to check around. By the way, there's two ways to reduce risk. There's what you do to your property and insurance, okay? So because you're in a lava zone 1 or 2, it may make it more difficult for you to find proper insurance. Some companies will not insure single wall homes, but some will. So you're going to have to shop around.
I guess that's something we have to do nowadays more, huh?
Yes. And again, how you prepare your house reduces the risk, which also is the function of insurance, reducing risk. You're transferring the risk from yourself to the insurance company. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks, Dennis. Yeah. And thank you, Lynn, for calling. We appreciate your input, and we wish you luck on doing more research on that and finding insurance. We want to hear from you. Like Lynn, give us a call. The number to reach us is 808-941-3689. Again, it's 808-941-3689. Please give us a call and talk about hurricane preparedness. So, John, tell us more about some of the other things that we might not be thinking of with the storm system. We had the Kona lows, which certainly gave us a strong heads up about what should be done. Are there other tips that you'd like to share about that specifically? You know, a very rainy time really brought us a lot of damage.
Yeah, the rain that we had, especially March and April, very intense rainfall, and the rates that we were seeing that caused that rapid flooding is what you might expect during a hurricane as well. So use that as a potential indicator that you can get extremely heavy rainfall rates that can cause fast flooding, landslides, cutoffs, problems like that. But that's only one of the hazards as well. So going into hurricane season, having an awareness from an insurance standpoint, do you need flood insurance? Are you in a flood prone area? That's one of the decisions that you can use to make whether you can shelter in place at your house during a hurricane threat, or if you need to find someplace else to go to. One, Dennis mentioned how retrofitted you are, how strong your structure is to the wind, potential wind damage. That's one aspect. Potential for freshwater flooding from the heavy rain, another aspect. Coastal flooding, another one. Those are all the hazards that you have to be aware of to know whether you can shelter in place or if you need to find, say, a friend or a neighbor that you can stay with, or a business office that you can stay in, or at the very last resort, a hurricane refuge area.
Right. And I appreciate that, Dennis, in reading through your resources on the website, that you do have information about how, you know, fortunately I'm in a house, we do have a steel frame, we do have hurricane clips, and we do have the ability to cover our windows. So I'm thinking I can reach out to some of my friends who are in a jealousy-filled house and say, hey, if you need to, come on over. So I appreciate that you've given us other tools in that. I wondered if you could briefly, without falling into too deep on the details, some of the other ways that people can cover their windows, because I think we used to think of it as only as plywood, but sure, there's some other options.
Well, in the homeowner's handbook, and I encourage people to download a copy, they could Google it, there are 10 different ways to protect your windows. Plywood's the cheapest, but it's also heavy, and it's very readily available. But there's things called polycarbonate panels, which are becoming more popular, just as strong as plywood, but much lighter. And then there's things like hurricane fabric, accordion shutters, Bahama shutters, impact-resistant windows, which they use in Florida. That's the most expensive, but it's always in place, and it actually has not only hurricane protection, but burglar and theft protection. So those are all things you could find in the homeowner's handbook. I know the people that do that type of work, they're very busy now based on the Kona lows and the prediction for the active hurricane season. So if you're going to do it, they should do that. They should
reach out,
be proactive.
Sooner. Yeah, sooner than later. Yeah.
But the low-hanging fruit is tying the roof to the wall down. That's something that all the older houses should be done. And we were even seeing roofs flying off during, there were actually four winter storms. There were the March Kona lows, there was one in April, but before that there was heavy winds in February, and there were over 100 houses that had wind damage with some roofs flying off just from that.
I think that's really helpful what you said, because not only have you, although you pointed out some things that people must be going, oh, well, who has money to do all that? But what you're pointing out is that if you work on that proactive, you work on adding the shutters or getting the plywood or getting the polycarbonate or cleaning up around your house, these are things that are going to be helpful for you beyond this any storm season.
Right. Just do a little each year. Do the easy things first. The one easiest thing is maintenance. Then the second is the roof to wall tie. Third is windows. Yeah.
And this is something that even ties in with what Darren mentioned before with the 14 days of supplies. You don't have to go out and buy 14 days of food. You can stock up. You go to the store, buy a little extra, and make sure it's stuff that you're interested in eating, not right. a special, oh, this is the special meal ready to eat that I've never had before and don't know what to do with. It's, you know, get the food you're used to eating so you can just stock up on it and eat it throughout the year so it doesn't expire.
Exactly. Well, great. Well, we have another caller on the line. We have Paul from Hamakua. Paul, could you tell us what your question or comment is?
I'm here.
Welcome. Welcome,
yes,
Paul.
As I said earlier, I live in Papaloa Lapahoehoe, and there is a sign, there are two signs at four thickets by the Papaloa tennis courts, and they clearly identify the water as spring water, which I have found out several years ago that it is not spring water, and it is county water, and lots of people come there, and they fill up massive containers. They fill up gallons and gallon jugs and will go away thinking they're doing a healthy thing. I don't know about the quality of county water. I know that I don't want to drink it. And I think that people shouldn't be misled by crappy old signage.
Got it. Well, thank you, Paul. I appreciate you calling. And let me check in before we have to go to break. Let me check in with our water expert. Ernie, do you have any thoughts on that? I know this is your island and that's Hawaii Island, but...
Yeah, and I know the folks that operate the water system on Hawaii Island and the Hawaii Department of Water Supply. And just like them, like the Board of Water Supply on Honolulu, we have to comply with all the State Department of Health's drinking water regulations and also the U.S. EPA. So I would say that we probably run more tests on our drinking water than the bottled water companies. Sorry about that.
Okay. No, that's fair. We wanted information, so we want to hear it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Dennis, briefly, again, on the if people wanted to find out more about things, the other types of polycarbonate material that they can put in their windows, where on the best way to find that is, again, tell us how to find the handbook.
Okay. Just Google University of Hawaii Sea Grant College Program. Or they could Google Homeowner's Handbook to Prepare for Natural Hazards, type in Hawaii, because the book is also okay. in 13 other states or countries.
Okay, no, just that's great for you to give us the broad. That's super helpful. Okay, John, looking ahead to what are some of the, do you have any personal tips from your own life, things that you've started to do? Just a quick one.
The one point that I point to most of the time is having a plan ahead of time. Going into hurricane season, know what you'll do, whether you'll be able to stay in place or who you'll be able to stay with. Because as an event unfolds, especially for me, I know I'll be busy at work and I don't want to spend time worrying, but will my family be safe? I know they'll be safe. They'll be staying with friends. I'll be at the office and we'll have a plan for where to meet afterwards.
Perfect. And I need to stop you there because it's the first day of the month and we're going to take a break to test that emergency alert system. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Support for HPR comes from Haleakala Ranch with a legacy of livestock, conservation, and land stewardship since 1888, working to restore, maintain, and preserve the open vistas and natural beauty of Maui. More at HaleakalaRanch.com.
On the next Fresh Air, historian Elizabeth Stordor Pryor spent years lecturing on the most charged word in American English and never told a soul that her father was the man who infamously used it, the legendary comic Richard Pryor. We talk about the N-word, growing up as Pryor's daughter, and why late in his career he swore to never say the word again. Join us.
Beginning this afternoon at 3, following On Point.
Support for HPR comes from Big Island Coffee Roasters, featuring Kona Noir with black cherry, wild honey, and peach notes at BigIslandCoffeeRoasters.com or at their cafe in Hilo.
We have a caller on the line. I'm told we're hearing from Bill from Maui. Bill, what's your question?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Live here in Haiku, and a couple of things. Just curious as to any thoughts on why the county never sent out any information here about the recent earthquake. And two, we always get the alerts about the testing of the sirens. Never hear them here where I live in Haiku, and I'm wondering if there's any movement to improve that system.
I think I'm not sure we have the specific information, but Dennis, tell us what you know about this situation.
Okay. In terms of getting notifications or hearing from the siren system, if there's a deficiency, just contact the Maui Emergency Management Agency. They'll try and help you. In terms of earthquake warning, there are several hazards that happen so quickly that they may have time to issue a warning. Like an earthquake, you may have less than a minute between the time the earthquake occurs and you feel the shaking. That's why there's several hazards you need to be prepared yourself without getting warnings. Like earthquake is one. If there's an earthquake, you drop cover and hold. It could be a flash flood. It could be a local tsunami from an earthquake off Hawaii County, most likely, possibly Maui. But those are some events where you need to be able to react by yourself.
Got it. Okay, so first off, if you can't hear the sirens and you're not getting an alert, call MEMA in this case, but call the agency that should be letting you know about this.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Oh, thank you for your call. I appreciate that. And we have another caller on the line. We have Richard from Punch Bowl here on Oahu. Richard, tell us your question, please.
Yes, hi. You know, I'm concerned about sewage. Say it's 14 days plus. We can't flush our toilets. We have a portable toilet. It's really old from the last hurricane, what, in 2000. I don't know if it still will hold up. So, yeah, how much of a concern is this? Say people have got all the sewage in condos especially. What do we do?
Okay. Well, I'm going to turn to our water/sewage expert out here on the panel. Ernie, can you help this condo dweller know about what's in store with sewage? What problems can we anticipate since we're looking for ways to be prepared?
Yeah, thank you. Condominiums, I think, pose a interesting challenge here because there are a lot of people in a very small location on different floors of the condominium. It takes water to flush the toilets. Our recommendation of 1 gallon per day per person, that's really water for mainly drinking and cooking and brushing your teeth, but it doesn't include water for flushing the toilet. So if you're able to store more water than the 1 gallon per day, it doesn't have to be potable water. It could be rainwater that you've catched off your roof and use that for flushing the toilets. The other thing that I have, and Dennis can probably speak to this, is the good old 5 gallon bucket with a kind of toilet seat on top of it. I have plastic bags. I also have some kitty litter. So if I need to go, that's what I'll be doing, and I'll be probably bagging my waste for the short term.
There you go. It might not be pretty, but it's a practical solution. Dennis, did you have something you want to add before we go to the next caller?
Well, no, I think Ernie covered it. The only thing I want to mention, too, is besides those water containers that Ernie talked to about before, the 2.5 gallons, there's also things called water bobs. You could buy it online, or some of the hardware stores locally sell them. They're essentially bathtub liners, and they hold 100 gallons of water, and you could use it for drinking or for flushing toilets. Yeah.
Right, because it fills up. You fill it up, and then it's a large amount of water that you have right there. But it's also not being contaminated by whatever soap and stuff is in your. Another thing I know I've heard the advice for at a single family home. Sometimes you can throw a liner in a rubbish can and fill it up with your garden hose, and you could use that for flushing toilets.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So, we have another caller on the line, Greg from Maui. What's your question?
Hi, I just got a letter from my insurance company that said that they were dropping land movement from my hazard policy. And so I called my agent and I was like, my house backs up to a gulch, with a fairly steep drop off behind it. And I was like, how do I get covered for that? If they're not going to do it, should I get another company, whatever? And she said, well, if it's an earthquake, and I said, no, I'm not worried about an earthquake, and I'm not worried about, like, a raging river or flowing water. I'm just worried about the hillside becoming so saturated that it falls away with part of my house on it. Mm-hmm. And nobody can seem to tell me, like, what kind of insurance policy will cover that.
Okay. Dennis, can you weigh in on this before we...
Yeah, that's... check around. There's a possibility that flood insurance may cover it. It's usually water damage from the bottom up, and if it's sudden, it could conceivably be covered by flood insurance, but I would do some research on it. I would also check other insurance companies, because the flood insurance program is like... nationwide, so its policies are standard across counties or states, but private insurance is huge difference in what's covered and policies and how they work. So you really got to do a lot of homework checking in different insurance companies and if you could get coverage on that. Yeah.
Got it. Thank you. We appreciate that, Dennis. Yeah. It's helpful to have information where people can find out more information because there's so many questions.
Yeah.
We've been talking about this hurricane preparedness, and I wanted to make sure all of you have a chance to kind of circle back and give us your last thoughts before we have to wrap up for the day. So I know one of the things, I did want to mention when I spoke with Darren Pye, he did mention one of the things, if your power is out, to turn off the electronics. So that's one of the other things. If either any of you can expound on that a little bit, and what's your last thoughts on what are practical tips that people you want to leave our listeners with? Ernie?
Just say if the power goes out, and not only turning off your electronics, but conserve water, because that could also mean that our well pumps or our booster pumps don't have electricity too, so we're unable to pump water enough to keep up with the demand for water. So power goes out, conserve water, store water ahead of time for emergencies. It could be a natural disaster. It could be also, we have these things called main breaks periodically too. So,
right.
Thank you.
Dennis, quick last thoughts.
Be proactive. Do a little all the time, the low-hanging fruit. And really, your emergency plan, the key part of it is, where are you going to go during a hurricane? So you need to know where coastal storm surge zones are. If you're in one, you need to know if there's inland flooding risk. And you need to know if your house is strong enough for the wind. Remember the story about the three little pigs, straw, wood, and stone? Your houses perform differently. So you could make your house stronger to make it more likely to shelter in place. But especially for a single wall house, don't overestimate the strength of your house.
Got it. That's perfect. Okay. John,
your
nursery heard, rhyme.
One of my coworkers, his daughter, put together a book called The Three EO Brothers, which is a great kid story that you could look up online, that similar for just Hawaii. But as far as the wrap-up goes, take action now. Don't wait until something develops. Use this as your reminder, start of hurricane season, as your trigger. Go out, start to stock up on food, start to develop that plan, start to look at insurance. There's a lot of things that you need to do now, well in advance, in order to be prepared as a hurricane threatens the islands.
That's perfect. That's great advice. We would really like to thank you, our guest, John Bravender, Dennis Wong, and Ernie Lau, we thank you, our listeners, for joining us on today's show. Have a comment to share about today's show? Call our TalkBack line at 808-792-8217. You can also send us an email at talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org. And if you want to listen back to today's show, check out the conversation as a podcast at hawaiipublicradio.org. I'm Robbie Dingman, in for Catherine Cruz. Join us tomorrow for more of the conversation.